The leaves have turned brittle, dark, fallen, and winter is a moon or two away when we will worry about ice patches and snow shovels and wonder where last year's mittens are hidden. Halloween is followed by hibernation until the blossoms of spring pull us outside to bask in the sunshine, faces turned up at the blue sky, declaring how wonderful it is to be alive. But we like the gray, too. Fireplaces, sweaters made of sheep's wool, quilts, and hot chocolate, even a blizzard or two. The changing seasons are like the tides of our dreams, pulling us this way or that, and it's lovely to be living in all of it. And then we remember people we loved who are no longer with us. A lover or a mother or a brother passes away. And sometime in the future, you stop your errands because a sound or a smell reminds you of a moment you had with that person that will never happen again. And even the thought of that future moment is enough to eclipse the joy of this moment of living right now. I was born on the sea that we like to call the cradle of civilization. But now we know there were elaborate societies in Africa and Asia and the Americas by the time the ancient Greeks invented their mythologies. I was taught that the first thinkers came from Phoenicia and Babylon and migrated westward, and I was taught this partly because I spent childhood in Beirut and then my angry teenage adolescence in Andalusia. It took me years wandering around the Himalayas, the Amazon, the Serengeti, the Yucatan, the Kalahari, and the Arctic to learn that every neighborhood has its magic and mystery. On November 16th, right here in the Friendship Village Center at 7 p.m., we will put on a flamenco show with some of the best practitioners of the art in the D.C. area. Jeanette Perea will dance, Ricardo Marlowe will play guitar, and Yee Yee will sing. The show is free. You don't have to buy a meal or three glasses of wine to momentarily find yourself in Andalusia. But we can't make it that simple. Where did flamenco come from? If it came from the plains south of the Himalayas, did it come to Spain through Bulgaria and Romania or through Cairo and Tunis? I've always thought flamenco should be seen with its ancient cousin from India, a different kind of dance that is eerily similar. So we will have a very unusual opening act for a flamenco show, and she is Karma Dulal from Tibet, Kathmandu, and West Bengal. We will have a few other flavors and favors to digest for you as well. So I have two storylines here, one about All Souls Day, or El Día de los Muertos, or the Day of the Dead. The second storyline is about growing up with flamenco without much of the details. First, Halloween, El Día de los Muertos. It's precisely at this change of seasons, as fall lurches halfway into winter, that I remember the people who held me, the people who fed me, the people who inspired me and demanded that I make my dreams come true. And if I can do it and the money can be spared, I fly down to the south of Mexico and join the parties of the living, celebrating life among the flowers and souls of their cemeteries. For a week, every tombstone is spruced up and buffed, adorned with petals, and the musicians plan on playing all night for several nights in a row in cemeteries. When stories are told and some families simply sit together on the edge of a grave and remember the people to whom they owe everything, those people who came before. The Day of the Dead only happens because we listen to stories from the past, as you are doing right now, ear to the phone. Sometimes, when we remember someone, we spill tears as we stare at a tombstone or try to remember a voice, or as we close our eyes in a breeze and try to see a smile that was there just yesterday, but now seems so far away it will not quite come into focus. In a tiny town, an hour into the hills outside Oaxaca, a band of three trombones and one trumpet plays love songs, and the president of the village pours mezcal for me and asks if I would do his tiny municipality the honor of being the official guest for the Day of the Dead. and we swallow the mezcals and begin the noisy celebration of living while remembering loved ones no longer here. The funny thing is, I was just in Holland, I tell the president, and we remembered the dead and bowed our heads in complete silence to respect their memory, while now you ask me to dance and sing in a graveyard dressed up in blossoms and stained with tequila, and the president laughs at the idea of silence, and even worse, at the idea of tears or crying or lament. For thousands of years, says the president, we have known that our tears make slippery the path our spirits need to reach their destinies. We mustn't cry, he tells me, because that path must stay dry if our ancestors are to reach where they are going. But where is that? What destiny does an ancestor have? I drove 55 kilometers in the Kalahari Desert in first gear with the engine revving at 5,000 RPM, and there's video of me steering our truck in deep sand at no more than 10 miles an hour for 5 hours, and I look at the camera often and say, I'm pretty sure the engine is going to blow up, but it doesn't, and we reach the rock where life first started and fall asleep in our tents alone in awesome silence. When I wake up, there is a bushman standing patiently at the foot of this huge rock. I tell him I thought we were going to be trapped in the sand, and he tells me that he heard us from miles and miles away and was ready to come help if we needed it. But he knew we were coming, and he's happy we are there. He tells us many things about the Kalahari and the Bushmen and the rock where all life began. But the next night, he points at the celestial canopy over our heads and tries to point out a single star. That is my ancestor, he says proudly. All the stars are all their ancestors, he says, and yours too. And he stops smiling when I tell him that where I live, I see a few planets and a sprinkle of stars because of all the lights needed to guide the living. And he sadly says, yes, he's heard that before. You are the people who live without ancestors to look up to. I cannot disagree. What proof do I have of my own ancestors? Where do they lie buried? I need magic to see them, hear them, touch them, feel them. While magic might seem hard to find, I do have some proof of it. There were 6 hominids we know about that were alive on Earth between 50,000 and 200,000 years ago. Homo sapiens, us, Neanderthals, and several others. And everyone went extinct, except us, because we could dance and we could sing and they could not. Songs are the key to our survival as a species. But this is another essay, and for right now, for this Halloween, I will invoke the long journey of flamenco from Rajasthan to Andalusia many centuries ago as a proof of that musical magic, and as evidence as well of how flamenco has helped to keep some societies alive, even when facing continuous and brutal discrimination. I'm referring to the Romani, of course, the Roma, the people also called gypsies or Egyptians, the people of harvests, horses, ironworks, and music. What do I have to say about their flamenco that explains their survival as nomads? Let's try this. Flamenco brings out the best in how you look at dance performance and at sex and at grace, since it has long evolved from the deserts of India through the spices and trades of Afghanistan and Istanbul and Romania until it erupted 600 years ago in a tiny mountain town in the south of Spain as a way of poor people expressing their lust and laments for the rich people who paid to be voyeurs. Passion is best associated with flamenco, and I grew up with it in the background of my own horny blossoming, but not as art or culture, as much as a place to go to seduce or be seduced. Flamenco was the flame to the combustible rivulets of desire on my tongue and in my saliva, and to be standing next to the object of your desires, while in front of the flamenco stage, alcohol fuzzing your brain with courage, was to be given license to feel for sweat, to casually run your finger along somebody's arm to show them their salty effluent caught in your touch, reflected under dim light. Flamenco was this for me, even as I understood nothing of its history or social import. It was a drug that put our skins on fire, and to this day, it is how I see it and hear it. I think that sums it up rather nicely. See you here on November 16th, Wednesday, 7 p.m.